I'm still dancing, you know. Welcome, everyone. Hello. By the way, I did get the memo about the intro music. I took a poll, and I discovered very rapidly, unless Deli altered the results, which is always possible with a tool of the Matrix in the house, but you guys like the old intro music, so we're going to bring it back. Don't worry, I've already put in the request. They're bringing the old dance music back so everyone can get excited right now. By the way, we are still in this temporary set. The other day, I looked at how I appeared on screen and I said, oh, I kind of look like a glowworm. If you don't know what a glowworm is, you should Google it because that's what I looked like. So we're making some adjustments. We're going to be temporary. We're moving buildings. So you got to bear with me for a second. If I look a little odd, just know that the content is the same. It's the same old Jed. It's not some type of imposter that stepped in to ruin your day. It's still me. We're just working on the lighting in this temporary space while we get our new stuff built upstairs. It's going to be really cool once we have it. It's going to be some features that I wasn't able to do before that I will be able to do. So you got to have some patience. All right. So today is a bit of crazy. Just going to put that out there right now. We are going to talk about, there's a feminist TED Talk. I looked at the TED Talks. I knew that was what we were missing on this show. So there's a feminist doing a TED Talk, and she's given some terrible, terrible, terrible advice to women. So we're going to talk about that. And she's pretty famous, too. So we're going to talk about who she is, what her motive might be, and what the real motive of the modern feminist movement is with this messaging. We're also going to talk about a woman, a modern woman. She doesn't understand men at all, and she's defensive about traditional gender roles. Somebody brings it up to her in a panel. It's like, there's a lot of that going on. So we're going to talk about that. We have a story about cheating that's very interesting, and it begs the question, if a woman cheats, does that mean that she's already over you? She's already out the door? The answer is yes, but why? There's the why of it, the psychological reason why. Is it different when men and women cheat? Yeah, something different happens in the brain. It's very different. So we're going to talk about that. OnlyFans. If you have an OnlyFans past, should it impact your future? Does it impact your future? We got some fresh and fit on that. That's really cool. How will women use and reject a simp? How does that process go down? This is my advice to you guys. Don't be a simp. The difference between a gentleman and a simp. We're going to get into that. And of course, I have to close with some Matrix insanity about the CBDCs coming. That's digital stuff is well on the way. In fact, there's a job posting that you're going to want to see. They're already looking for somebody to take care of that digital stuff for you. Time to start tracking you. And we got more. There's apparently communists in the dating pool as well. So we have to beware of the commies. Let's start with the TED Talk. You know, and I always say, if I have to suffer, so do you. So this is Tracy McMillan, by the way, giving this TED Talk. I don't know if you know who that is. We'll be playing it for you in a second. She's an author. She's also one of the writers of the series Mad Men. I don't know if you saw that series. I did not. But when I asked my husband, I said, did you see it? He said, yeah, I know it. There's no good men in that series. Apparently, men are not painted so well. So just keep that in mind. If you also know Mad Men, maybe you know a little bit about that. Keep that in mind when you hear the context with which she is going to now discuss marriage. Also keep in mind, this is a woman who's been divorced 3 times. You know, best person to give advice on marriage, right? Okay, Deli, let's go 240.
So what does it mean to marry yourself? It's a big idea. It's as big as marriage itself, except if I could just summarize it, it would be that you enter into a relationship with yourself and then you put a ring on it. In other words, you commit to yourself fully. And then you build a relationship with yourself to the point where you realize that you're whole right now. That there's no man, woman, job, circumstance that can happen to you that's going to make you more whole, because you already are. And this changes your life. So by now I'm sure at least some of you are wondering why you should be listening to a 3-time divorcee talk about marriage, even to herself. And I understand that. And here's what I have to say about that.
I don't care about your reasoning. I don't know if you do, audience, but I really don't. Because if you've been divorced 3 times, you've been doing something wrong. You're probably not the person who I'm going to tune into to ask for marital or relationship advice. Just saying. I know you write a lot of books. And that's really easy to do. It's kind of like listening to an economics professor who lives in the ivory tower of academia, and they lecture you about the market, but they've never actually run a business, right? So you don't want to take that person's advice. Or it's like you want to get advice about food and nutrition, so you go to a big old fat person, right? And you're like, hey, you look terrible. What should I eat today? No, no sane people do that. So this is obviously somebody that not giving the best advice to women. Now, have you ever heard of that phrase, you complete me? It was made famous in the movie Jerry Maguire. I love it. I actually think it's a beautiful, beautiful expression when she falls in love with him and it's like, you complete me. Feminists go nuts when they hear you complete me. They go nuts because ultimately they want people to be alone. This advice that this woman is giving to you, Tracy McMillan, she's trying to justify her bad decision. She's trying to justify the fact that she's alone. She obviously is not happy. Does she look like a happy woman to you? No, she does not. And now she, A, wants company, and B, she's trying to justify that that's okay, right? That's okay. I've fallen in love with myself. I've married myself. I'm finally comfortable with myself. That's not a plan that people should be telling other people to do. First of all, we have biological reasons why we want to pair with the opposite sex, right? You have a biological reason why you want to build that family, why you want to procreate. That exists. That's biology. That exists. That's beyond what society can or can't tell you to do. So it's almost like ignore your biological instinct here is what they're saying, and just worry about you. And this is how relationships are run in this day and age, right? It's very much like I'm my own person. You're my own person. I don't need you. You don't complete me. I'm so whole. I remember being on The View, and I think I've told this story before, but for those of you who haven't heard, I remember saying something in the back room. We used to have these meetings, and I would say, I love the line, you completely, and Whoopi was like, nobody completes you. You're your own individual person. You don't need anyone. You don't need a man. You know, that's that whole, you don't need a man. You don't need this, that, because they're so worried that you might actually want to fulfill your biological instinct, which is to pair with a man, that you might accept and acknowledge that you bring different things to the table than a man, and that you might accept that you need a man to do certain things that you can't do, and you might actually, heaven forbid, choose to rely on that man in ways and choose a good man that you feel comfortable relying upon and build a beautiful family and have a union and build a little community where you don't need to rely on the state and government and reject all that authoritarianism that comes along with it. So do you see how this is all connected? It's no secret that all these feminists are often these woke, you know, authoritarians, little tiny little authoritarians running around because they want the system to be rewarded and they want you to be alone and unhappy. Right? There's an agenda here. There's a lot of people that want unhappy men and unhappy women. So until you acknowledge that, like everyone's always trying to figure out, well, why would they give bad advice? They want you miserable. That's why. And guess what? You're miserable. You're going to be on antidepressants. You're going to feed the whole big pharma machine. So it's all connected. But this, I find it really interesting when people are offended, but I'm not offended at all. If I heard somebody say, you complete me to their husband, I'd be like, that's a beautiful thing. Because that implies that you were walking through this world and you were aware of your limitations. You were aware that men and women are different. You were aware that men and women bring different things to the table. You were aware that you were unable to make certain things happen without that man, such as bring a child into this world, such as bring certain components into that home. Maybe you wanted that provider, protector, man. You were aware of the differences. You were living in the land of the sane, and you wanted to bring all of those beautiful things that a man brings to the table into your life. Same for the other side, by the way. Men look at women and they say, women are nurturing. Women are, you know, beautiful, beautiful creatures. I've heard Andrew Tate talk about how a woman's love can change a man's life. A woman's loyalty can change a man's life. That's all true. What a beautiful paradigm that people could see that reality that men and women can enhance each other's lives in such beautiful ways. Feminists don't want that. They want you alone, miserable, hitting the wall, sad, angry, and then feeling like, well, I'm okay. I married myself. It's all good. Does she look happy to you? Honestly, does she? No. The answer is no. All right. We're going to go into this podcast now. It's called No Fugazi. I don't know. Does that have some type of meaning that I'm missing? I don't know. People make up these names. I don't know. Maybe Deli's in on some of this crazy. By the way, Deli is here. Tool of the Matrix is in the house. Just saying. He's going to forward me these chats. I've also told Deli, I'm going to say it on air just in case he doesn't do it this way. You know, came from my mouth. But I tell him to send chat. If you super chats get read. Even if you're critiquing what I'm saying, you have an open forum to tell me, oh, Dad, you know what you're talking about. You know, if I'll read that too. I don't care. You know, let's have that debate on air. Let's do it. I ain't afraid of nothing. Okay. Let's go to number two. We've got a single 46-year-old woman who's just she's unhappy. By the way, maybe she was following that advice from Tracy McMillan. She's found herself in an unhappy situation, and she's got a lot to say. Let's go to 1018 first, number two, Deli.
Actually, so I'm not really on there anymore. I deleted the app.
You'll be back.
No, I don't think so. I was on there initially. I had been off of it for a while. I downloaded it and started talking to a guy because I want a relationship. You know, that's what I want. Like, I had all the adventures. I have all the stories to tell. Like, no, I just want somebody that, you know, I can count on. Yeah. I know is going to be there. The problem is I is going to sound.
Where's my button?
You know,
I need a button
really
to press.
Conceited,
okay, let's stop. The button that is like, I need like a, she already made a mistake. You already told me what went wrong. First of all, why are you saying, oh, I had all the adventures. I have all the stories to tell. What'd you do? Some type of nasty stuff with other men? You telling guys that you want to like get with now? Now you're looking for somebody who's going to care about you. You're looking for somebody who's going to be invested in you. All I just heard is that she had all the partying. She had all the fickle stuff. She was out there finding herself for a really long time. She's 46. She was doing all that stuff with a whole bunch of other guys. And now she's sitting and she's being open about that and expecting some guy she meets at this stage of life to ignore and unsee and unhear. They're like, oh, why would you be appealing in the same way as somebody who doesn't have all the stories to tell? Because we all know what that means. When she's saying, oh, I have all the stories to tell, it doesn't mean that she fell in love with one guy for the last 20 years. He passed away or said, no, she was, you know, hanging from the chandeliers, honey. We know what was going on there. You know, maybe I did some of the drugs. I drank. I had the one night stand. I did all that. I got it all out of my system. Oh, how appetizing to a man to know that you got all the nasty out of your system. And now here he is. You want someone reliable and dependable now that you did all that. And he gets to have that consistent image of you doing all the nasty with everybody before because you just told him. How desirable. Why is the brain dead so thick? I'll tell you why. Because all of these women absorb all of this modern feminism for so long, and women lie to them. Women are like, oh, yeah, you say it. They think, they tell them that guys are somehow going to receive that information well. And that guy is just like, bye. See you later. You had all the stories? I don't want to know. I don't want to have to go to the STD clinic either on my way out of here, honey. All the stories, what? Nasty. Nasty. Too much going on. I don't even want to know about it. I don't. All right, 1605.
She's easier to manipulate. She's easier to control. She's not looking for the same type of things that a woman after over 35 is looking for. A woman over the age of 35 is looking to settle down, looking for somebody who's secure. She's already seen certain patterns in men she's dated or people that she's dated. So she knows the red flags and she is not easily manipulated. She's not easily controlled. You can't fool me because I already know the game you're playing because it's been played to me before. So yeah. You can't control, but a girl half my age who has not had the experiences I have in general might be easier to play those types of games with.
Oh, God.
And men get
right
off on that.
You know what? I really can't. First of all, she's telling everybody she's damaged goods, right? She's telling you she's damaged goods. She's been through all this stuff. She's got the trauma. She's telling you, oh, my God, you know, guys are there. Or if you have that perception of men, by the way, you're 46 years old. If you have a perception of men, that men are out there trying to manipulate and men are getting away with it, you've had a ton of damage done to you. Yet another advertisement for a man to embrace you, is it not? No. No, what guy's going to want to, oh, guys are manipulative, they're doing that. Oh, can I take you on a date? You seem lovely. No, they're not going to want to hang out with you. Maybe that's why you're 46 and single. You have this warped view of men. You've been through hell and back. You're talking about it like, oh, the story's this, that, and the other thing. It's not appealing. It's not appealing. So, and I love this line, they say. Oh, men like young women because they want to manipulate them. They want to manipulate them. I'm sure there are, you know, some guys that aren't so great out there. Maybe that is their motivation. I don't know. Do I think that's by and large what's going on, though? No, I don't. I don't. I think guys are trying to avoid this type of damage that this woman has. Because it's hard, right? If a woman enters into a relationship with a man and he does her dirty, right? She's going to walk away. She is going to feel that damage. She is going to be like, maybe he cheated on her. And she's now distrusting of other men. Now that next guy who walks into the picture has got to deal with all that garbage because it's like, even though he didn't do it, he's constantly looking at her. She's crying. She's suspicious. She's this. She's that. She's carrying that burden of what her experiences were with her past into that next relationship. So when guys go for younger girls, and by the way, I mean legal, I'm talking about them going for a 22-year-old instead of a 46-year-old, oftentimes that means that that woman's just been exposed to less garbage in the world, right? She's slept with less guys. She's, you know, been hurt less. It's a lot of garbage people out there. And if people aren't careful and aren't really thinking about who they're getting involved with, they wind up with a lot of baggage. There's just less baggage, right? It's more appealing in that way. You don't want to have to kind of meet somebody and pay for the mistakes of the guy who came before. This is just logical thinking. It's not about like, oh, I want to manipulate this girl. I want to control. It's just like it's less to deal with. It's and not every case. I'm not saying every case. There are women out there at 35 years old who made smart decisions and they're not damaged. They're not, you know, they don't have all that baggage with them. And now, given the way society is running, you're going to have 23-year-olds out there with a heck of a lot of baggage because they're going through college, sleeping with this one, that one. Oh, he didn't call me back. Why would he call you back, honey? He knew it was a one-night stand. So did you. No, I thought he wanted more. I mean, all that garbage is going on. So it's not going to be every case. But I think you can make a pretty good generalization that if you get to your 40s and you're single, you've been through a lot of guys. You've been through a lot of garbage. And if not, she's telling you in her own words by having this image of men. Oh, manipulative. This, honey, who hurt you? Who hurt you? Go ahead, tell us. You know you're gonna anyway. So let's just sign up for it now, get through it, and maybe we won't have to get through it again and again and again. But if you date her, you know you will. Because every time you do something, she's gonna say, oh, but that happened to me. You know, there was a guy that did. You're the same as every other guy I've dated. You know what? You know it. Men in the chat, raise your hand. Nice and high so I can see him. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Ladies in the chat, by the way, be honest, right? We've all been through a relationship that didn't go so well. And you know you carry some of that stuff into the next relationship. You can't help it because you're cautious, you're this, you're that. Let's own it. Let's just own the reality of what most men are trying to avoid and why it makes completely practical sense that they would want to try to avoid that. Let's just be honest. This is a space for honesty. I'm not telling you what I want you to hear. I'm not telling you what you want me to say. I'm telling you the truth. Let's get into this same woman goes on, by the way, and she talks about traditional gender. She's asked about traditional gender roles, and she gets very defensive about the idea of a guy leading her. By the way, before we get to this, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. You know, it helps me. If you want me to build that fancy studio, you know, you got to just show some love. Hit that subscribe, hit that like. And by the way, in the comments, I want to hear your thoughts on the episode. I've been reading them. Y'all have some pretty interesting stuff to say and some interesting guest recommendations. So put that in there so I can see it. Okay, let's go to 2714 and hear her reaction to the idea that a man would lead in any way a woman. Let's go.
Because men have that sort of toxic masculinity ideal.
Whoa, you believe in toxic masculinity?
A lot of that plays into this sort of idea because the narcissistic man, he needs to be in the head and to be in charge and be in control.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Do you want a guy that's, confident and a leader and in charge?
I don't want a narcissist.
Well, do you want that?
I don't need him to lead me. I need him to walk beside me.
Okay, so you don't want a leader?
No, I don't need you to lead me anywhere. We could lead each other.
Okay, we'll speak about that.
I can't.
Too.
Does this woman sound... Okay, guys, in the chat, does she sound appealing to you or does she sound like a colossal headache who's been through a lot of damage, who has a lot of relationship baggage, and who every time you try to exert any type of authority in your house whatsoever, there's going to be pushback? It's because it sounds like a headache. Honestly, I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh my God, I wouldn't sign up for that. I would sooner just be single. If my option was a dude was like, be single or deal with that, I'd take single. I'm not kidding. And I'm somebody you know who supports the institution of marriage and stands by that monogamy can be a beautiful thing. But, you know, a headache is a headache, honey. A headache is a headache. First of all, the second they say toxic masculinity, just pack. If somebody you date, guys, you listening to me? You're dating somebody and she's stunning, right? Say she's like a, I don't believe in tens because perfection is, you know, it just doesn't happen, right? No one's perfect. But say she's a solid 9. She's beautiful to look at. Say she's sweet, you know, maybe she cooks a beautiful dinner. You go over there and she starts talking to you and she's like, toxic masculinity is really hurting society. Just pack your stuff. Don't even stay. Don't even stay for the fun for that night. I'm telling you, it's not going to be worth it. Pack your stuff and go. So the second she's talking about toxic masculinity, forget it. It's over. She's been brainwashed. You're dealing with a brainwashed girl. Get out. I don't care how much you like her, how much she looks good in that dress. Narcissistic men, this idea that first of all, she needs a dictionary, right, to understand what narcissism means. But secondly, it's not narcissistic, in my view, for a man to want to lead. It's natural. It's instinctual for a man to want to lead, right? And if you, as a man, really love a woman, you want to lead. You want to be somebody who provides. You want to be somebody who guides. You want to be somebody who protects. And I love the haters. They're like, well, that sounds parental. No, it sounds parental because you've been brainwashed, honey. That's why it sounds parental. Because women who choose wisely, women who get into relationships with men who they trust, who they love, they don't mind a guy leading. They don't mind at all. In fact, they say, you know what? I trust this guy. I'm good. I know I'm in good hands. I know my child is in good hands. That doesn't mean that you're passive all the time and you have no say in your relationship. That's not what we're talking about. But this idea that you can have two leaders all the time, imagine you decided that you were going to have a team, right? You wanted to start a soccer team or basketball team. Do you make like two captains? No, you make one captain. You choose wisely. You pick that one captain. And that doesn't mean that that captain doesn't take advice or recommendations from the team. That doesn't mean that it's not respectful. That doesn't mean that it's not collaborative in any way. But somebody's got to run the ship, right? Somebody has to pilot the plane. You can have a co-pilot, but the co-pilot's not riding the plane, right? He's sitting there and chatting it up and having a conversation and, you know, providing support. But can we just acknowledge that two people can't lead? Can two people drive a car at the same time? I mean, let's just be realistic. That's not a realistic proposal. So this woman has been triggered to have a response to that because she's been with a bunch of guys that did her dirty or she chose badly. She's not taking proper personal responsibility. But women who've been in good relationships don't take offense to this. Like, I don't get triggered by hearing that because I know that when I go home, there's many times that I say to my husband, he'll say, well, I'm thinking of this or this. What do you think? And I'm very comfortable being like, babe, you know what? Just pick. I don't even want to have to think about it. I trust you. You're going to pick what's right for the family. I'm good. I'm good. I'm not triggered. I'm not upset. I don't feel like I've been, you know, held back in society. No, I'm good. In fact, it's less stress for me. He's going to be on the ship. Good. Good to go. Next. But so many of these feminists, you see her reaction? I don't need someone to lead me. We can lead each other. Put it on a poster, honey, and you'll attract so many guys. They're just waiting to be in a relationship like that. They're not. It's not instinctual for a guy. You know, can you imagine if you saw an image? Just think about this for a second. And by the way, there was a recent image of Rihanna that looked like this. I'm pretty sure. I think it was Rihanna that it was. Anyway, if you saw a picture of a guy and he was holding hands with his girlfriend or his wife, and he was walking a little bit ahead and she was walking a little bit, and he was kind of leading her. Does that sit with you differently than if you saw an image of a woman leading a man? There's something about that dynamic of watching the woman lead the man that you're like, something's off here. What's off is that guy is not doing what he needs to be doing. That guy is not stepping up. That guy needs to be the one taking charge of the situation, protecting his woman and his child. It's the same way that when I look at people walking on a date and the guy's not on the outside, it bothers me. It bothers me, not because I believe that guys are less valuable in any way, but I think men should say, I'm on this date, I care about this woman. If there's going to be some type of trouble, I want to be the shield between that trouble and her. And if he's not doing that, you're with the wrong man. You're with the wrong man. Okay. Let's go to cheating. And then I'm going to get to the chat because I see some feistiness going on in the chat is all I'm going to say. All right. Number four. By the way, people tell me that my Brooklyn accent is coming on stronger and stronger in the show, and I think that might be true, and I don't understand it. It's like I moved to Florida and I got more Brooklyn. Isn't that weird? It's very strange, but I think it's when I get heated is what it is. You know, I get heated, the modern women get me heated, and the Brooklyn comes out. So, you know, they don't want to deal with the Brooklyn girl, these modern women, is all I'm going to say. Let's go to cheating number four, 13526. I don't remember where this is from, so we'll find out together.
So you say you cheated before.
Oh, there we go.
It was mild.
It was nothing too crazy.
Well, elaborate. You had a story.
Oh God. So I was only dating this guy for like a very short time.
Yeah.
And there was another guy that I had been talking to for like on and off for like 5 years at that point. So he was like in my friend group and like everybody came over. We were all hanging out. We were watching a movie.
Okay. Pause it for a second. I'm going to stop and go this, you know. Our friend Ulrich cuts the clips for the shorts, and he's like, Jed, just finish a sentence so I can hear him in the back. I don't care. I have to do it, Ulrich. Sorry, in advance. First of all, that woman, can you pull up the image, Dolly, on the screen? Don't play it. Just pull it up. She rates herself a 7, just so you know. She rated herself a 7. What do you think in the chat? Does that look like a 7 to you? I would say no. But just I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just talking about the, you know, people need to not be deluded. She on the right, I'm talking. She rates herself a 7. Just a fact I want to add in. she's talking about a friend group. First thing, what do you got all these guys in your friend group? What's going on there, honey? You're just hanging out, friends. This is a problem because a lot of times your woman's got that friend group. It's a whole bunch of guys that she hasn't gotten. Oh, I have like a guy friend. Yeah. Okay. So did you hook up with him in the past or do you want to hook up with him? Which one is it, honey? Something's going on there. Or is he the backup in case I make you mad? You go and you get a little loving from him and feel better. That why are guys in the friend group like that? Come on, be honest. It's not for the conversation. You want to talk sports with them? Is that what it is? You want to have a big old beer and talk some basketball? Is that why you have man in the friend group? No, honey, it's the backup. You know it. It's your backup or it's some guy you want to be with or it's your second choice if your boyfriend makes you mad. Let's be honest. Okay. So now you have to ask. She's going to tell this story. And I want you to think about when we listen to her talk about this. Why is this guy in the friend group hanging out at her house when the boyfriend's not there? Nasty. Let's play it.
Like some people were sitting on the bed. Some people were sitting on the floor. Oh, sorry. And basically everybody was like, all right, like all the guys got up and they were like, all right, we're leaving. See ya. And he looked at me. I looked at him and he was like, yeah, I'm not going. I was like, yeah, you're not.
So another question. You had a boyfriend at this time.
Mm-hmm. But also I want to say that we just slept next to each other.
Yeah, just slept next to each other.
And you're going to think I'm lying.
Did you kiss him?
I did not kiss
him. Did he spoon?
We spooned.
You felt the boner. You cheated. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so pause that there for a second, too. We're going to get to the end of it, too, because then we're going to talk about, you know, being one foot out the door. Is that cheating to y'all in the chat? I want to know. Put it in the comments. Put it in the chat. I want to know. Is it cheating if she, first of all, to me it is. This is cheating to me. First of all, she was intentional about it. She knew she liked that guy. She looked at him. He looked at her. Oh, you're not going. Oh, no, you're not. That's cheating. You've got something on your mind that's not kosher. Let's just say. So it was intentional. Number two, she says she slept. Oh, we just slept. I don't believe it. I don't believe for a second. Maybe they didn't sleep together as in have sex. Something went down. You and I both know there was some touchy-feely going on in that bed. I don't buy it for one sec. Do you believe her? Because I don't. Thirdly, the spooning. Come on. You know stuff happens in a spoon. Is all I'm going to say. But you're the little spoon. Stuff happens. So this to me is cheating. But I'm curious if you in the chat define this as cheating. Because I certainly do. I think most men would be horrified to learn that their girlfriend was hanging out in bed with some other guy spooning. Can you imagine? Horrible. Okay. Let's keep playing it. Because now we're going to decide. Now we're going to talk about like why women. If your girl cheats on you, should you take her back? Well, let's listen.
Did you already start? So you put yourself in that situation at that house on the bed with that guy. Did you already mentally check out with the current guy?
I think I was halfway there.
Yeah, you were.
Because I had, he was already doing things that were just like weird and odd and unattractive. Like he was weird about how much I ate.
Yeah.
He would make me feel bad about what I was eating. He wouldn't let me eat ice cream sometimes. Like weird stuff. So I was already not really into it.
Do you think that's weird or do you think that's him looking out for your best interests?
At first I appreciated it. Actually, that's probably why I stuck with him for so long. Cause at first I was like, he's giving me like helpful tips or he's like wanting me to be healthy.
Yeah.
So he was like, we already ate. I know we're going through, you're drunk. We get through the McDonald's drive through. Why don't you not get a double cheeseburger? Why don't you just get a large fry like you already ate? Which already, I'm kind of okay. Like,
before I start losing, this is going to pair the obesity talk with the modern women. I'm going to start to lose it. He should have been telling her, forget the large fry. We're not going to a McDonald's. You want a nice celery smoothie or something? You had too much to do. Something's going on here. Okay. So here's the thing. First of all, and we're gonna play more, is if a woman cheats on a man, she's already done with you. She's done. She's checked out. So you don't sit there as a man and think of it like how you would cheat. Because I do firmly believe, and I, by the way, let me say as a caveat here, I do not recommend cheating. I just think it's not good for a relationship. You have to set the terms and the boundaries of a relationship when you go in. So if you decide you don't want to be monogamous with somebody, that's fine. You make your own decision, but just make sure everybody's on the same page. Don't do sneaky stuff. It never ends well for you. It never sits well with you. It never sits well with the other partner, right? So, but I do think guys are capable of cheating, right? You can go out and you could cheat with somebody and not have your whole heart and soul in it. It can just be physical, right? And then you feel bad about it and you could never see that woman again. And that's not how it works with women most of the time, 99.99999% of the time. There's some type of emotional entanglement that's happening that's making her want to do that a lot of the time. So if she's cheating on you guys, she's already out. She's looking around. She's scouting the neighborhood. She's not into you. She's cheating on you. She is not into you. Because a woman who really likes you, she's got the tunnel vision. She's not looking for anybody but you. So guys often will, a couple of guys were writing me saying, well, I got cheated on, but you know, she swears it's not going to happen again. No, honey, no. Mm-mm. No, she can swear all she wants. She cheated on you. She's not into you, or she wouldn't have cheated on you the first time. That's not how women work. If she cheated on you, she does not want you. Move on. She's not into it. It will absolutely happen again. Or she'll be bored with you because she's not into you. She don't like you. Accept it. Accept it. And then they rationalize it sometimes. Guys say, oh, but I would be able to. You're a man. You're different. Mm-mm. Different. Different. Mm-mm. She don't like you. Let's play the rest of it. Then I want to add something else about the ice cream.
Want to a certain extent, but I yeah. understand his intentions. But the one time I had just had like a procedure done, I was like really, really, really not feeling well. I was also on my period.
Yeah.
And I ate an ice cream
TMI, honey.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to get another one. And I got it and I had it on the table in front of me because I was sick. I didn't care. I wanted ice cream. And I went to grab for it and he literally like took his hand and covered my mouth in front of people.
Okay.
And looked at me and he was
so
like,
let's stop it here. Never do this in front of people. That's where he was wrong, right? You don't want to embarrass somebody in front of other people. But I have to be honest, if I was with somebody, and I don't know what she looked like when they met, but if I was with somebody and he was a certain type of way, you know, relatively, you know, fit or whatever, and then changed over time and got, you know, fat, I would be saying something. I would be saying, you shouldn't be eating that. Like, if you're going to continue on this behavior, this isn't going to work because I need somebody who cares about their health. That would be important to me. So is it possible that he was trying to remedy that situation, trying to let her know, like, stop doing what you're doing and trying to provide some leadership in that situation to a woman who was clearly out to destroy her body? That is possible. Should he have done it in public? No. Should he have done it? Yes. Yes, he should have. And I know guys are like, well, how do I navigate that? I'm going to have a mad woman on my hands. Well, do you want to have a mad one or do you want to have a dead one? Do you want to have a mad one or do you want to have a sick one? You love that woman. It's your responsibility to say what you're doing for yourself to your health is not good. I can't stand by and watch this happen like this. I do believe it should be said. Okay. I want to look at number 5. I got everything all over the table, Deli. It's disarray. Oh, actually, let me read the chat. Deli put all these chats in here. And here I am just going crazy. Okay. Mr. Too Fresh, $20. Tracy McMillan has shown on the OWN Network, has a show on the OWN Network called Family or Fiancé. She tells couples if they should stay together or not. Yeah, well, she shouldn't be giving that advice is all I'm going to say. Why are you giving, like, here's the other thing, too. If you're divorced 3 times, maybe just sit back and just, like, acknowledge that maybe you're not the best person to convey advice on that particular topic. I just don't know why there's no self-awareness in this game. She says, by the way, oh, no, I made mistakes, but I learned from them. Really? Did you? Are you in a happy relationship now? No? Okay, next. Rick Bourne, $20. If a married person gets an STD from their spouse due to their spouse cheating, that should be a basis for a civil lawsuit. While I believe in no-fault divorce, if there is fault, it should matter, as to alimony in particular. That's an interesting point. This no-fault divorce, we're going to have to talk about that too at some point. We will. We'll get there. Omega Rasetsu, might be saying that wrong. I apologize if I am. Kevin Samuel said 46 plus needs counseling, plus most guys want kids and not someone else's. Moreover, past 40 usually means no eggs. You can't make it up. That's true. I mean, it's a reality. Some people get lucky. Like I told you, I had my baby. I was 40 years old and we got pregnant on the first try. But that, again, like I consider that like I got really lucky and I take care of myself. Look around you. Go to the beach one day or go somewhere and look around at the population. Do they look healthy to you? No. They're oftentimes overweight, eat like garbage food, you know, spraying the toxic chemicals around the house. I mean, they're just like a toxic waste dump, like a walking toxic garbage dump oftentimes. And you think, and look at the fertility crisis in the country. You have 20 somethings having a hard time having a baby. Is it weird that guys would look at a 40 plus and say, that's not going to be a likely, what if he wants more than one kid? I mean, yeah, let's just be realistic about it. Don't take offense. Just be honest. Sam Saylor, women destroy everything they touch. Relationships, family, and children are just collateral damage. Okay, so Sam, listen. I understand there's some frustration there, but we have to acknowledge there are a lot of good women out there too. There's a lot of good moms. There's a lot of good, think about moms, grandmas, daughters, sisters, a lot of good women out there. And there's a lot of women who, by the way, like me, listen to this content from these modern women and our stomachs churn. And the reason, by the way, I'm doing this content, when I started this channel, I was like, started with politics. And I was tired of politics. I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to shift a little bit. Then I went into wellness. And that was really interesting to me. But when I started listening to this stuff, I was like, oh, this is the culture battle that we're dealing with here, the corruption of women. And I felt like I was in a unique position because there were all these people in the red pill space that were men talking about it. I'm like, I'm a female. I did do some things that I would do differently. I am willing to put my personal life on the table. I'm gonna do this. So just keep in mind there are, it's bad to get jaded so much so that you think there are no good women out there, because that's not the case. There's some really, really beautiful women out there that, you know, really appreciate men and would make wonderful mothers. TJ saying, hey, from India, 1 month old, I'm on your channel. You know, I hope you're not saying you're a 1 month old. That'd be kind of weird, 1 month old typing and all, but you never know with AI. All right, everyone, thank you. I appreciate it. Telly's like, Jed gone wild. All right, let's go to this, our adult women. I have our adult women self-empowered or not. This is a tweet from Rich Cooper. Y'all know Rich Cooper? He's funny, by the way. He triggered me when I first listened to him. Now I'm just like, makes sense most of the time. Okay, let's go to that tweet. That's number 5, Deli. All right, I have it here, and I'm going to read it for you. Keep it up on the screen for now. Okay, so you have this girl here. I started an OnlyFans at 18, and you have this woman sitting at a desk. Aw, an empowered woman. And then you have Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm dating a 19-year-old. Hello, Child Protective Services. So do you get it? You get what's going on here? This is the feminist, by the way, sitting at the desk, trying to evaluate the situation. So the point of this is, it's a valid point. Are adult women, you can take it down, Deli. Are adult women self-empowered or not? In one sense, in this little cartoon, she's saying that an 18-year-old woman who's doing OnlyFans is a self-empowered, competent, confident woman. Let her do her thing, right? Let you encourage, you go, girl. She's got the you go, girl sticker. You go, you do your thing. Yeah, you ignore all these misogynists. You ignore the patriarchy and you do you, right? Then you see Leonardo DiCaprio dating a 19-year-old and suddenly people are like, 19 is a baby. He's taking advantage of that situation. That poor young girl can't think for herself and she's just being played by the system and by this man, Leonardo DiCaprio, that misogynist. So which one is it? This is what I'm saying all the time. And the reason that this breaks down like this is because feminists want the talking point when it's convenient. They want to say that women are like infants, they're little babies, when they want to play the game of women are being taken advantage of, right? But they then want to say women are capable, leave them alone, they can handle themselves, stop trying to control them, all this, when they want to roll out a talking point that says women don't need men. Which one is it? Right? Now, I would say consistency matters. To me, if Leonardo DiCaprio is dating a 19-year-old, that's a 19-year-old adult woman. She wants to get involved with Leonardo DiCaprio? Okay, fine. That's up to them. I don't care. I don't see it as him subjugating her, and I don't see her as some, you know, oh my God, she's a little baby, protect her. No, she's doing her thing. Maybe she'll have a good experience. Maybe she won't. Two adults, up to them. And then I see that 18-year-old doing OnlyFans. Again, she's an adult. She wants to do it. Let her do it. Let her make her own decisions. It's up to her. Is it a decision I would make? No. Is it a decision I think is the right decision? Personally, no. Let her do it. I see both of these women as grown adult women who have to be responsible for their own decisions and their own choices and take responsibility in their own lives. Notice how I don't have a convenient talking point for one and not the other. Yeah, because I'm not a nasty feminist playing a dirty game. That's why. Okay. Let's go to number 6. We're going to do OnlyFans. I think this comes from Fresh and Fit. Let's go to 3355. Let's take a listen. I think that's where it's from. Yes, I'm right. We got Sneeko.
Do you think the guy that you want is going to want you when you're 30 after doing OnlyFans for 8 more years?
It doesn't matter. Like, my priority is not a guy. It's me.
You don't want to start a family?
I'm not calling it. I don't need it right now. I need my peace right now.
But if it happens, it happens, right?
So there's no family in sight for your future?
If it happens that I have my partner that is going to support me, that is not never going to stop me in my dreams, okay. But I'm not going to have a guy that's going to be like, no, don't dress like that. Don't go out like that. Don't do that. Don't do this. Let me know what I love. Mm-hmm. And then if I love myself enough, I will love you.
Wow. That's I think they would define that as narcissism, but this is what OnlyFans does to women. They get so much attention right now, it doesn't matter at all about a family. It's like, maybe I'll find a guy. I don't care what he thinks. He's going to have to love me because I love myself. You don't care about the man that you want to have kids with, but it doesn't even matter. Like right now, you're getting so much attention. It doesn't cross your mind to have kids, which is insane. How many girls in their 20s think this way because they're getting some money and attention from simps online?
So he's right. And I think one of the challenges is Sneeko's young. I think he's like 24. So when you have a 24-year-old guy giving this message out, sometimes women automatically are like, well, you don't know. You're this. You're that. Well, you're living your life a certain type of way. Really what he's just doing is a reality check, right? And what he's saying is true here. He's saying that these women get a ton of attention at this age. A ton of attention. They're 20, what is she, 24, 25, 26 years old. She's, you know, on OnlyFans. She's making money. She's got guys sliding into the DMs left and right. She's got all this attention. She's not thinking about family because she's saying to herself, I have time for that. I have time for that. How much time? If you do that OnlyFans and you do that until you're 30, early 30s, then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you want a nice guy. And guess what he says? Ooh, is that, well, you want OnlyFans? Bye. No thanks. And she's like, well, what do you mean? That's my past. That was when I was young. Yeah, it's part of the decisions that you made. It's part of your character. And that doesn't interest me. Women somehow see it as like as if their 20s is like a separate human, right? Like they can just wreck their body, their life, everything. Like, oh, this is my time to just wreck everything. And guys will view that as a separate person than the person who ultimately at 35 decides that they want a companion, they want a husband, whatever. No, it's the same person. It's still you. So a guy's going to say, well, do I have a woman who has impaired judgment? Do I have a woman who's damaged? Do I have a, where's your dad? Do you have a relationship with your parents? Like, what, did no one say anything to you? What was going on there? That's all part of who you are. You don't have to like it. And you very well may change, right? You may become somebody who at 35 is disgusted by what you were doing before, but that's still part of your story. And that's still a part of your story that guys are going to have a hard time getting over. The fact is this woman is like cocky about it. She's saying, well, I don't know if I want a fan, whatever. You know, I just want to be with a guy who's going to love me for me. The assumption is that the expectation is that a guy is just going to have to sign on the dotted line. Like, oh, I'm doing OnlyFans. I'm half naked all over the internet. And you've got to accept that and love me anyway. Well, honey, that's great for you to say. But there's no guarantee that you're going to find a good man that's going to sign up for that. And odds are, by a very large majority, most men are going to be like, no thanks. No thanks. It's poor decision making. It's nasty. And where's this footage? Everywhere. So now they're going to have their wife and the mother of their child is going to go out to a dinner party and some guy's going to be there being like, oh my God, I think that girl's on OnlyFans. Oh, dude, I saw her. No, she was naked. I mean, is that like you're going to be walking in arm with your wife and be proud of that woman and not feel weird and uncomfortable if that moment happens to you? Come on. So you can choose, women at 25, to live in the dark and think that your past and your present and what you're doing now doesn't matter. Or you can wake up to the reality that it does matter and you're going to be very sorry in 5 years when your options are severely limited by your bad behavior. Very, very, very severely limited. Okay. Let's talk about number 7 is controversial. You, Jed? Controversial? Never. All right. Is a woman who already had a child with another man unappealing? Let's play it. Number 7.
With or without a child?
Probably with a child.
So let's go, wait, pause that for a second, Deli. So the question is a woman more appealing if she has a child by another man or has no child? Let's play it again. Can you actually, can you close that out and re-pull it up so that we get it from the start? Because I think I cut that off. I'll give you a second to do that. That's my fault, not Deli's. In the meantime, I'm going to read this chat from Rick Bourne. It says, a commitment to sex in marriage should be a part of marital vows. Seriously, is that not a part of contract here? This has been a taboo topic to mention, but is now not the time to make a thing of this. This is the other thing I will say that I find really, really bad that women do. They have a really healthy sex life with a partner, with a man, with a boyfriend, whatever. Choose whatever word you want before you start getting offended by what I'm saying. And they get married, and then suddenly they don't have sex. They don't want to. I don't know what it is. A button flicks off. They get lazy. They have more important things to do. They're not into that guy anymore. They're not feeling the heat, whatever it is. And they just say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Well, that was part of what you were doing before, which is one of the reasons that he got involved with you. Now take that away. You're playing some type of mind games, or you're being very selfish, or you're being very weird, because it's unhealthy to be in a union with a man and not be having sex. That's unhealthy, mentally, physically, and otherwise. We all know that things happen in the body when you have sex, right? Do you know that? Things happen that are good in the body. All sorts of chemicals are released that are healthy for the body, for your ability to heal, for your ability to detox. No joke. If you're having a sex-free life and you have some type of physical problems going on, it could be related. No joke. Plus, you have the intimacy factor that happens when it's your wife and you want to share that moment. So I don't think women, I mean, women who turn around and say, oh, I'm just not going to have sex, or they get use it as a weapon, or they get real weird and creepy about that, I think that's a real problem. And I understand why guys, I don't justify the cheating again, but I understand why you would sit down at a table and say, if this doesn't change, this isn't the marriage I entered into. You're not the person that you've changed. And this is an important, healthy part of a marriage. And if this doesn't get fixed, I can't stay here. It must be fixed. Telling you. Okay. Let's go back to that clip. Now that I had my tangent, let's go.
What about you? Do you think a girl's more attractive with or without a child?
Probably with a child, because okay. She has more love inside of her. Okay. A single woman, she's just living her life. But if I was a guy, I will help a girl with a child.
You would?
Okay. Help her, not date her.
All right. Let me ask you ladies a question now. Let's say you have a son, wildly successful, attractive, built himself up, became a millionaire, right? Oh, got it out the mud through his bootstraps. He has two women. One that's 21, single, no children, or one that's 29, one kid, baby daddy, but divorced. Who should your son get with?
Here's the thing that it irritates me about these women. They're so programmed. They know the answer. They know the answer is obvious that you would want your son. I have a son. Go for the girl that doesn't have a child with somebody else. Right? That is the answer. It just is the answer. And by the way, I'm not saying that every woman who has a child with somebody else is a bad woman. I'm not saying you can't find a good woman who has a child with somebody. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in general, if you're looking for an easier path, why is this a hard answer? Well, because they're programmed. They know they're supposed to say one thing, but they also know the right answer is not what they are supposed to say or what they're inclined to say. Because they're out there defending some ridiculous talking point that a woman who has a child by another man is somehow more attractive. I mean, listen, you're dealing with, if you walk into a situation as a guy and that woman has been divorced, you're dealing with baggage. Okay, baggage, there we go. Emotional baggage. Obviously, it didn't go down well, and there's some trauma or something happened there if you got divorced. I love these people that say, no, it was amicable, it was fine. Honey, you decided to get a divorce. There were fights that happened. There were things that happened that weren't all, you know, rainbows. Let's just say that. Now, there's a child involved, which means that in some capacity, you know, that child has a father. That's not you. So in some capacity, you're going to be dealing with that child's father. You're going to be dealing with that woman's ex-husband. It's just drama. It's headache. It's a stuff to deal with. Even in the best of circumstances, there's an awkwardness that comes with it, right? Like, can we just be honest about that? And I'm not saying every situation, you know, is doomed to failure. But if you're looking for the less problematic option and the less headachey option, do we really have to have this debate? I mean, can people just not acknowledge reality? They have to be caught in their talking points 24 hours a day. And you see her expression when somebody brings it up to her. It's like, what do I say? He's right. Just say he's right, honey. Just say he's right and save us all the agony of watching your facial expressions and whatnot go on. All right. Simps. Simp. Don't be a simp. Don't, guys, don't do it. So we're going to play 138, but what you have to know before we play 138, this is also from Fresh and Fit, is that this woman, before this clip, I couldn't find it again. I was like going back looking for it. Before this clip, she talks about how she had a one-night stand with a guy in Miami. Like she showed up in Miami and was doing the nasty with some guy on the balcony that she barely knew. That she tells that story. And then she tells this story at 138. Let's go to that number 8.
You got a Valentine's. Please don't cry on us.
I won't. It's okay. Usually I'm the crier, so that's funny. Anyway, no, I haven't gotten like a crazy expensive gift. Just last year, this shout out Sam. He sent me like 100 roses. That was nice.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Where is he now?
Yeah. I don't know, at home watching. Where you at?
Have y'all ever smashed?
No.
Oh my god.
You shouted him out. You just said you fucked the guy 2 days into Miami, promoted on the balcony, and this guy's giving you flowers.
And
he didn't give him nothing.
Because he's cool. He's a good man.
He's a good man, so why shouldn't you have sex with
him? Good boy.
You should
bring it back to the original topic before you
put nasty. Okay, stop it. Nasty. So she's playing games, mind games with that guy at home. She's got a simp at home. Oh, he's watching me on the show right now. He's watching you on the show, listening to you talk about how you did the nasty. Had a one-night stand on the balcony in Miami. You just got there, knowing full well that you never slept with him after he sent you those 100 roses. Has probably been kissing your behind for how long? You're nasty. Nasty to do that. I know everybody in the chat waits for me to say nasty. Don't worry, it's going to happen. That's my word of choice. Can you imagine? And this is why I'm telling you, there's a difference between a gentleman and a simp. This guy sitting at home, can you imagine this guy sends her, by the way, 100 roses is a beautiful gift for Valentine's. It's a very, very nice gift. Roses are expensive. It's not a cheap gift. This guy sitting at home sent her 100 roses for Valentine's Day. He's sitting there like the simp that he is. They've never had sex. He's probably all like, did you like the flowers? Can I get you a coffee? Do you want a latte with that? And she goes to Miami, sleeps with some guy on one night stand with some guy on the balcony, goes on the Fresh and Fit podcast talking about it, then tells the story about this guy who's now sitting at home like, oh my God, she slept with that guy one. Oh, wow. Should I buy more flowers? I mean, this is what I'm talking about. So you can be a gentleman. You can be a gentleman, and I encourage you to be a gentleman. Mom's got to raise you right? You got to be a gentleman. I'm not saying don't be a gentleman, but I'm saying you don't be a doormat for a woman like this. First of all, you be a gentleman, but you assess who you're with. So I was telling you, you don't spend your money on someone who's just looking for you to spend money on them. You don't simp and chase after like a little bunny rabbit. Ooh, you know, it's like, you know those dogs that you see out sometimes, those desperate dogs. I'm literally talking about a dog. Desperate dogs, and they're always sniffing around, like, oh, looking to get with another dog. And they're like, oh, desperate dogs, right? Don't be that dog just waiting, sniffing around. Is that her perfume? Did she come home from having that one night stand with that guy? Should I buy her more flowers? Don't be that. I mean, it's nauseating. Don't you just want to go find this guy and just smack him around a little bit to wake him up? Hope he's what? Maybe he's watching this. Imagine he was in the chat. That would be fantastic. If you're in the chat, by the way, own what you've done so I can expose you. Honestly, don't be that. I don't care what, like if there's one takeaway. And the takeaway, by the way, should not be treat women like garbage. The takeaway should be you be respectful, but you don't overextend yourself for women who clearly aren't interested in you, are disrespectful to you, and don't care about you. That is the message. Okay. Let's go to, did you see this? This was wild. Did you see this picture that came up? Let's go to number 9. I couldn't believe this. All right. Let's look at it. This is men bowing to women to atone for thousands of years of disrespect. I see this image. I'm like, what is going on here? So I read the fine print. It says every year at Fit for Service, and I searched that, but nothing comes up. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe he tagged it wrong. It's in Sedona. They guide us through a process where men bow at the feet of women present. We bow for the thousands of years of disrespect and oppression of the feminine. We bow for our unconscious participation in a system which has advantaged men. We bow for our own lapses and failures to acknowledge the divine feminine within and without. After a few minutes, with our heads at their feet, the women start to weep. And then the tears flood onto our own eyes as we realize how deep the wounds are, burning at the stake deep. No right to vote deep. For the world to return to balance, the feminine wing of humanity needs to be restored to its full divine potentiation. I've said it many times before. I will fight for these women and support them with full heart until my last breath. Okay, so is this guy, I mean, I don't know. Is he doing some type of dramatic reading that he wrote out? I don't. Does this guy appeal to you as a female? If you're women in the chat, he's not appealing to me at all. Honestly, sounds very sad. I'm like, I feel like we would both watch The Notebook together and I'd have to get him the tissues. That's what I feel like would be going on here. I don't need that in my life. Secondly, what really always bothers me about people like this, and I'm sure you've seen news stories like this and whatnot. First of all, what are you bowing at the feet of these women for stuff that you're saying guys years and years and years and years back did? It's like you feel like you have to atone for somebody else's bad behavior. So let me ask you this. If you're a guy out there and you're in a relationship with a woman, you have a really good relationship, you're a good father, you're a good husband, you respect, you know, the terms of the agreement of the marriage, you're respectful, you stand up, you know, you go to work, you provide for that family. Are you supposed to pay in some way because some other guy somewhere cheated on his wife? Like, are you supposed to be bowing at the feet of your woman because some other guy somewhere in another time and place, maybe 20 years ago, maybe 15, did something bad to women? That is not your responsibility. That is not on you. You should be responsible in this life for the decisions you make and the way you treat people, right? This whole like, oh, we got to go back in time and we have to now make all men bow at the feet of women because at one point women didn't have the right to vote. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Secondly, I love this, how they talk about society now as if women are oppressed. Where is the oppression? Where is the oppression? Show me. I'm waiting to see the oppression. All I see constantly is guys being called toxic, guys being told their masculinity is poison, guys being accused of things without due process. I mean, where is the oppression toward women? I don't see it in the modern world today. Were women ever denied certain rights that men had? Sure. Do men today have to pay because society way back when had a different societal structure and women suffered in some capacities in those structures because they didn't have equal opportunity and whatnot? No, these guys today do not have to pay for that. It's not on them. Judge people by their own behavior and by the way they treat other people. This whole like, oh, atone for somebody else's bad deeds. Like, am I supposed to sit here and atone because some guy murdered somebody somewhere else? I mean, do you realize how insane this is? It's also telling guys that they have to carry the burden and the weight of responsibility of what some other guy did to some other woman as if it's on them because they're male. Like they're all stained in some way. This is the sickness that is modern feminism. The deep, deep, deep sickness. Don't ascribe to it. I'm telling you, don't ascribe. And by the way, if I walked around, I would love to have attended this event, walked around and seen these guys on the floor, I would have went up to every one of them and said, like, first of all, maybe there's something that maybe we could have gotten Ro Costa to submit some low T adjustment herbs because something's, I mean, what guy would do this at the feet of a woman when they themselves have done nothing wrong? The brainwashing. That's why I say the women have been brainwashed. The men have been brainwashed. The whole society is just wretched, isn't it? Isn't it nauseating? Where do I go? Where do I move to? Because I'm not even convinced that, you know, I used to say, oh, red states, blue states. It's so far beyond that. You've got the internalized feminism in the red states too now. It's crazy. All right. Let's see. I have number 10, insane woman freaks out of capitalism. Let's see. By the way, I choose all these clips, just so you know how the show comes to be. I choose all the clips and then I don't look at the page. I choose like everything and then I don't look at it so that my reaction happens in real time. What you see, this is live reaction because I don't want to, I like it all to be natural and whatever. So I write these little notes down, you know, when I find it. And then like a week later, I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this one. I'm just not going to watch it until the audience sees it. There we go. So I don't remember what this one was about, but apparently some lunatic's going to have a problem with capitalism. So let's play it. Number 10.
Just having my regular meltdown of realizing I'm never going to escape capitalism. And I'm just going to be a cog in the machine of productivity for my whole life. So, happy Tuesday.
So, this is, first of all, to remind you that the dating pool is filled with psychopaths, right? And communists. So unfortunately, if the feminists weren't enough, I would go out on a limb though and say that woman is a feminist. Would you in the chat feel comfortable to make that assessment? I think I would feel pretty comfortable if somebody asked her, are you a feminist? She's going to say, well, yes, of course. Of course. What other answer is there? I think it's interesting though, people who say this about capitalism. First of all, you're free to go to another country where capitalism doesn't exist and see how you do there, honey. Please take your video recorder and maybe you can TikTok your way through it and we can see how the experience is like for you. I love people who complain about their current predicament constantly, 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 but they don't do anything about it. Like those celebrities are always like, oh, if Trump gets elected, I'm going to move to Canada. See you later. Let us know how it is. Say hi to Trudeau. You know, I don't care, but it's always about this like showmanship. Secondly, you are under no obligation to produce in a capitalist society, right? All this, oh, I have the pressure of, well, you could just be lazy and be poor and be broke if you want. Nobody's preventing you from doing that. So what are you complaining about? You're complaining that other people here have an opportunity to succeed and that's like annoying to you? That's annoying to you, why? Because it puts pressure on you to not be lazy bum and you don't like that. You'd rather live in a society with that soy boy we covered the other week that wants, you know, mandatory, you know, income for everybody and wants to get paid, you know, to sit around and smoke weed all day. You could do that. But we're not going to pay you here to do it. So go move to another country with all those guarantees and you can be a little mini authoritarian running around big authoritarians and we can be free of this nonsense of yours on TikTok. I mean, can you even imagine having a breakdown like that? And this is also interesting because this feminist, she's obviously a feminist. I wonder, she's working so hard, this and that and the other thing. But if you talked to her about traditional gender roles and you said, well, you know, maybe this speaks to the idea that women aren't designed for the grind of the workplace and women, you know, if you had that conversation with her, she'd be like, how dare, that's misogynistic. How dare you say that? Well, honey, you're complaining that you don't want to work so hard. And maybe if you, you know, decide, made that decision and you wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and have kids and you wanted a guy to carry that burden, you could choose that role. That's patriarchy. But you're telling me that you're miserable. Well, yes. Bird, and then you hear birds chirp because there's just nothing going on upstairs, if you know what I mean. Brain dead. Just brain dead going on upstairs. And by the way, let me just tell you something else, guys. Can I just share this with you? I will. If you meet a girl and then, like, barring something major happening, like a death in the family or just the timing of that, if she starts crying excessively, like right off the bat, and I know I have a good cry every now and then. I'm not saying, oh, women have that emotional side. We do cry. But if there's like the tears coming just because, if the tears come when she talks about an ex, I told you I was watching The Bachelor the other day. I did more research. And I noticed that these women who were trying to get with this guy, who, by the way, is very unappealing. I don't know. Very feminized. Very irritating, this guy. Look him up. You'll see. And he's talking to them. And they all start crying, talking about their exes. And I'm like, I'm telling you straight up. She starts crying about the ex. She's not over that ex. She's got some baggage. She's got something going on that she needs to work through from that ex. That's going to be a problem for you. It's going to just keep coming up. She's got that damage. It's going to be laid on you. I'm telling you straight. She starts crying about the ex. I don't know what you got to do to get out of there. I don't know. Have your mom call you and be like, oh, an emergency. See you later. I'm serious. It's going to be a problem for you if the tears are flowing with such ease right off the bat. And if it involves the ex, oh, it's going to be a headache. All right, I have this, y'all know Luke Belmar. Do you know the Belmars? I'm a fan of a lot of their stuff. Very into health and wellness. Luke and Nate, they're brothers. They're in like an interesting niche of the red pill space because they are very into the monogamy and they're very into the, you know, I think one of them's a virgin actually. Very into wellness, very fit, very athletic, very plugged into the matrix. Friends of the Tates, by the way, in that whole crew, but just live a very different lifestyle. It's very interesting to me, but very plugged into the matrix, very, very plugged into the matrix, which is why I like them, because I feel like a lot of these people, oh, I'm into politics. You don't care. Oh, you're into politics, but your network who had a vaccine mandate, oh, you didn't have a problem with that because, you know, you had to keep your mouth shut to get a big paycheck. Okay, honey, sure. They're not like that. So I see this tweet from Luke. You should follow them, by the way, if you're interested in wellness. Really, it's fantastic advice. Luke says, the Federal Reserve just put out a job application. What do you see? And you see senior application developer, digital currency. Now, where is it? Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. San Francisco, California, United States posted 23 hours ago. And he posted this, I believe, it was either 1 or 2 days ago. So, again, this is coming. The reason I'm telling you this is because when we talk about things like digital currencies, everybody, you always think of like, oh, that's far out. You know, that's something that could be on the way coming down the pike, but not today. It's not something I have to worry about today. And I'm telling you, think about it today. You don't have to worry about it, stress, get yourself into a ball of knots like I do. But you could just have it on the horizon and start thinking about what that would look like and maybe ways to avoid it because it's coming. They're making job postings about this. They are going to roll this out. And what it's going to involve is a lot of digital components of tracking you, of initially telling you it's in your best interest. Oh, no, we're just looking out for you, giving you tools so that you can, you know, monitor this and that. And then ultimately it's going to be, oh, crisis struck, you know, next pandemic, next whatever it is. And now we have to step in the government and we have to put these mandates and we have to help regulate you because you're not regulating yourself. You're too much of a simpleton and you can't do it on your own. So we have to do it for you. Big Daddy government's going to come in and do it. That's what's coming down the pike. And you already see a lot of countries instituting this stuff. I was making a list, Nigeria, Japan, Russia, all made recent headlines talking about this, progressing toward these digital currencies. It's going to happen. So when we say that here, you know, I love it whenever somebody says conspiracy theory, I start listening because you know that all the conspiracy theories of the last 2 years became actual reality. So I'm just telling you, pay attention to this. Be aware of it. It's going to happen. Do we have any more in the chat, Deli? No? Okay. So I want to thank you for being with us today. I want to thank you for putting up with our crazy set right now. Don't worry, we'll be back. The brick wall is coming back. Don't worry. And some other features. I want you to hit that subscribe button for me right now. Hit the subscribe, hit the like. Head on over to bila.locals.com, by the way, if you want to join my extra special group. Those are my, that's like the real cool club, you know, that I like post up there that you really don't see anywhere else. I do supporter only content. You can join for free though. If you just want to be a supporter, you can pay $5 a month if you want extra content, whatever you want to do. That's my little home base. And I love the Locals people. By the way, the Locals people are tied in with Rumble. So it's a free speech vestibule, so to speak. And we're going to be back here on Wednesday with more. So thank you for paying attention today. Good to see you. Thanks for the chats as always. And leave your comments. Don't forget. I like to see comments. Okay. Bye.